Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome along to this Friday's Racing Postcast. Myself, Dave Orton, in the chair, delighted by the talent. Joining me for the Racing Post, Graham Robway in the studio, David Jennings from Ireland, and from our friends Paddy Power, Niall O'Reilly comes back on the show. Gentlemen, this is going to be the first of two Racing Postcasts this weekend. You lucky people out there, because we're going to keep Sunday at Longchamp as a separate entity. So don't worry, that will be coming up in a separate podcast, as I say. So look out for that coming up very shortly indeed. I want to get straight into the action, though. Let's go to this decent card at Newmarket, if we may, Graham. Starting off with the 140. It's a Phillies handicap. Some people are thinking, wow, all the action you've got this weekend, you're going for a Phillies handicap. A, it's an ITV race, but also it's an extremely competitive handicap. And last time out winners, you know, all over the place here. You must have had a look at this.
Yeah, although we couldn't probably be starting with a more difficult race, could we? It's an absolutely real tough puzzle. As you say, you've got the races that I always think are the hardest to work out are the ones where you've got the horses that have got the solid form in the book against horses who are just improving and we don't know how good they can be. And you've definitely got that here, because we've got about three or four at the top of the market who are all likely race potential improvers. But the one I did like was one of the ones who's got the proven form, and that's Escape the City. It should be quite a decent price here.
Morrison's filly.
Yeah, Holly Doyle rides. Been in good form this year. Won at, I think, Brighton 2 runs ago. I'm not convinced that the drop back to 1 mile and 1 furlong last time out would have been ideal.
Now, at this track, of course.
Yeah, and the thing we should mention is the ground, because obviously it's going to be pretty testing at Newmarket, although I often think that the best ground in Britain really comes at Newmarket, because they've got those two tracks and it doesn't get raced upon in right in the height of the summer, the Rony Mile. It very rarely gets really, really bad there. And Escape the City, most of her best form has come on quicker ground. But she I think a fifth highest Racing Post rating came on soft ground, albeit she was well beaten. And I'm sort of loathe to go against these horses on ground alone when they've only had sort of one or two starts on it, because we just don't really know if she yaks on it yet, because she hasn't had enough chances on the ground to prove that she yaks on it. So at a double figure price, I'm happy to take a chance on her going on the ground, Escape the City.
Let's throw to Niall then. Niall, have you got a market on this race, and where is Escape the City in that list?
Yeah, we do indeed. Escape the City is 14-1. Stantasia is our 4-1 favourite. Nero's is 5-1. Eva Maria 5-1. Kazea 9-1 and 10-1 bar.
What catches your eye there, Niall?
The one for me would be Eva Maria for Richard Fahey. She was very impressed with air last time. She put up a very good section performance coming from a long way back in a race that wasn't run to suit. It didn't look the strongest race on paper, so the third and the fourth have both won since. And Eva Maria was very good value for how far she beat those by. She's got form on soft ground. She's proven over the trip, and I think the race will be run to suit. So I thought there were plenty of positives. I think she's worth backing.
She learned a right old gamble that day. We haven't mentioned Centasia, DJ, for the Gosden Troop. Big, big weekend for that camp. She's up £10. Did you like this one, or are we going to take her on, DJ?
Yeah, no, I think she's potentially the only favourite I'm going to tip going into the weekend. I think she's still ahead of her mark. I really do. If you go back to her win at Yarmouth last time, that was over a mile. But she looked so vulnerable a furlong out. There was about three or four challengers on either side. She looked like she'd get beaten, and she traded quite big in running. And she won by over four lengths. To me, she looked to be crying out for a step up in trip. She's up to 10 furlongs now. And if you go back actually to her couple of tries over 10, she was third to Sparkle Roll in a mile and a quarter maiden at Sandown earlier on the season. Like, she had Sea of Faith behind her that day, who's now rated 102. When she was beaten in a Salisbury maiden over 10, she was beaten by Gifts of Gold, who's now rated 104. So that's actually really solid form and suggests she's still well handicapped. I did tissues on this race before the market came out, and I made her about a 9-4 shot. So I'm delighted with 4-1. There's a bit of 11-2 out there. I think Centasia is going to be very hard to beat.
Solid argument. It will be very interesting to see the ground from this race, of course. We've got Ascot, of course, don't forget, in Berkshire. Serious card there. We're going to do these ITV races in time order. So let's go there now, Graham. The 2 o'clock, the Hi-Fi Show, Rouse Stakes, 6 furlong sprint. It's going to be pretty testing underfoot there as well, isn't it?
Yeah, should be plenty of cut there, shouldn't there, at Ascot. always takes some getting as well up that straight track, doesn't it? This is quite an interesting little race. We've obviously got Dakota Gold coming in, heading the markets.
Back up to 6 furlongs.
Absolutely, she's been in fantastic form, and stays well. I just thought that this is a tough track sometimes to make all the running, isn't it? And
very.
I just wonder if she could be vulnerable late on, maybe to Tiz Marvelous, who was very, very impressive when winning over the course and distance 3 runs ago. Has been a bit disappointing twice since, and was turned over last time when favourite behind Equilateral at Donny, but I think the return to this track might suit him. I mean, his previous run at Ascot was second behind Kate Byron in the Wokingham. And again, he's another one that we aren't entirely sure if he likes the ground. He's mainly raced on good or quicker, but he has only run twice with soft in the description. He finished second on one occasion. So again, I don't want to write him off on account of the ground when he's only had a couple of runs on it. And we don't know for sure that he doesn't handle it. I'm more than happy to take a chance on Tiz Marvelous. I think if there was quick ground, Tiz Marvelous would be almost favourite.
Fair enough. He's been a little bit lucky at Beverley since, hasn't he? DJ, which way did you go? We've got Dakota Gold, who's been a real punter's pal, hasn't he? Did you see this one being the one to beat back up to six? Or
Of all the races we're going to study, I thought this was the trickiest. I have no real strong opinion. The one I'm going to side with is May Gold for Ed Walker. Just because she's a rapidly improving filly. Like, she started the season off 75. She's gone up to 97. Her last 2 wins have been on soft ground, which is key as well. And of Ed Walker's last 4 runners, two have been second and 2 have won. So his team are really starting to hit the top form. I just thought she was the one, given the way the ground was and given her upward curve, where if the rest of them have kind of flattened out a little bit, she just might be the one that might have... Now, she'll need to step up again, but just on this ground, knowing that she handles it so well, I was just about siding with her, but... it wouldn't be a life or death situation at all.
Interesting, because Dakota Gold, Niall, I assume, is going to be one of the most popular favourites running at Ascot for punters, just based on his recent profile. What have you got the market looking at the moment, please?
Yeah, like Dave was saying, this is probably one of the trickiest races of the day. Dakota Gold is her 9-4 favourite, then Zeno 4-1, Stake Acclaim 13-2, His Marvelous 13-2, May Gold 13-2, and True Mason is 10-1. Sorry, it's 10-1 bar. It's just we're paying a money back special in this race. So it's money back your second, third or fourth, which should help punters figure it out a little bit. For me, I think you have to take on Dakota Gold here. He's got a penalty. He's been in very good form, but like it's still kind of, a lot of his form is kind of handicap form at York. The one I'm kind of going to side with is Danzino, whose best run of his career came on soft ground at Ascot. I just read a tweet there saying that the going stick reading was the lowest recorded since the Ascot was done up, whatever many years ago that is. So that would kind of suggest that you really need to handle the ground. May Gold was the other one I considered, but Danzino's 3 pence better off for a length beaten at York behind the Dakota Gold, so I'll just side him with the price.
Does tend to run the track well, doesn't it? Which is something we don't know about the Fav. Okay, that's interesting then. That's the opening race at Ascot for you. Let's go back to Newmarket now, the 215, the 150,000 Tattersalls October auction stakes race. And Niall, I want to stick with you for this. A, for the market first, but you've got one at a price, haven't you?
Yeah, I do indeed. We're paying 5 places in this race as well. Under the Stars, they're 7-4 favourite. Lambeth Walk 5-1, M10 8-1, Indian Creek 10-1, Betty's Hope 10-1, Mile Illusion 12-1, Bush Tucker Trial 14-1, Bonsby 14-1, Intimate Moment 14-1, 21 bar. Yeah, I just went as far as 14-1 there because Bonsby was the one I fancied. Yeah, I'm just quite strong in this. He's only had 1 star for Richard Fahey, winning a maiden or a novice race at Redcar. Now, on the face with Redcar form, didn't look too strong and he went off 16-1. But if you watch it back, he was really, really green. And when I looked at the times and sections, I actually thought it was a top class debut and he could be underestimated here. I don't know how many Redcar meetings there were over the summer, but Bonsby's time was the fastest 6 furlongs recorded this year at Redcar, which for a 2-year-old in debut is something, it's close to exceptional. Sometimes when you see a fast overall time, you might think that maybe the race was just set up well for him. But he actually did a very fast section. I think it was in the top 10 of sections recorded at Redcar as well. I have a feeling the Times boys might be going on about this horse tomorrow. So the price at the moment, he's 14, 20-1 in places, I think would look very big. Like I said before, except Redcar is not the highest graded track, but he just looks open to massive improvement. He's by Monster Bond, who is a soft ground horse. So the actual softer ground here might bring a bit of improvement as well. His debut came on good to firm. He's a half-sister to Bond's girl who won the sales race at Doncaster a couple of years ago. You might remember her.
Yeah.
So he has the pedigree. Across the Stars looked well clear on ratings. Or sorry, under the Stars and will be hard to beat. But she's had plenty of racing of late, particularly in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I think she's just opposed about the price in this type of race. So yeah, Bond's quite confident about this each way.
Yeah, Under the Stars, DJ, fifth in the Moyglare, form which we know worked out because the winner came and took the at a Rockfell last weekend, in which this filly took her on again and was fourth. I mean, on official figures, DJ, she's got £9 upwards in hand. I mean, 7-4-ish, 2-1-ish?
Yeah. Like, on form, obviously, should win. It's a funny sort of race, this. And obviously, Under the Stars is a little bit of an exception. But the last four winners, Lorton was rated 85. Elysium Dream was rated 83. Accidental Agent, when he won it, was rated 79. And Poet's Prize was rated 82. So basically, the last four winners have been rated between 79 and 85. So it's a type of race that does throw up a bit of an upset. Like Niall with this Bonds Boy, I was very interested in this Bonds Boy because I seen the race live and I was very impressed. I'm just a little bit worried. Obviously, the sectionals backs it up, but the second has come out and ran poorly since, and the fourth has come out and been well beaten twice since. So I'm just a little bit concerned, but it might just be that he has loads of improvement to come and the sectionals back up the form. I kind of picked out three. He was kind of my third choice as such. The one who I think is very interesting is Intimate Moment for Philip McBride and Ray Dawson, who used to ride in Ireland. This only went off 10-1. If you think a Philip McBride horse only going off 10-1 for a really good Newbury maiden, showed loads of speed first time out. It was just a first day at school kind of episode, to be honest. Came out next time at Yarmouth and was seriously impressive, I thought. I thought it was more impressive then a price of 16-1 suggests. And I'd say Intimate Moment has a big chance here. I'd say he's not too bad, Intimate Moment. And one I'm going to put up at a huge price because he's definitely better than he's shown so far. Could be 100-1, could be 66-1. There's a horse called No Mercy that's trained by Carol Burke. Apparently this horse works way better than we've seen so far. And there's some snippets of form which give it a small chance. Like it finishes, it was only beaten a length by Old Purple Rain at York earlier on this season. And he's only rated 77. But as I said already, Accidental Agent was only rated 79. He has a tongue strap on for the first time. And maybe he just wasn't breeding properly through his races, because apparently his work at home is exceptional. So I just wouldn't be surprised if No Mercy at about 66-1 ran well. But as regards my first choice, that'd be Intimate Dream.
Huge field, isn't it? Thanks for that, DJ. Okay, so, both Niall and DJ taking on this on-form good thing. Graham Rodway.
Yeah, it's a horrible little race for punters like us, isn't it? Because really, Under the Stars should just win. I mean, different gravy, really, to this lot, and been competing in much higher grades. And however, there's been types like this running this sort of race in the past, as DJ just alluded to, with his rundown of recent
wins.
Official
rating sums it up, doesn't it?
And they keep getting turned over in this race. So that makes it quite difficult. I mean, it's really hard to make a case why Under the Stars won't win, really. She likes the ground. She handles good to soft ground. I don't think this will be an issue.
So are you playing, or?
She's got loads of class. but I'm just a little bit worried about the fact that maybe she's a bit more exposed than some of the others, and there could be one lurking in there to beat her at a bigger price. So I think I'll be doing the favourites to focus on in the paper later, and I'll probably put the little fence icon in for this one because I want to sit on the fence. I think she should win, but it wouldn't surprise me if she would beat.
Fair enough. Okay, well, let's go to some more established runners then. The 235 Ascot, the well-established, long-established Cumberland Lodge Stakes. Group 3, headed by the likes of Mirando, Sextant are in there. Niall, can you give us a market on this, please?
I can, yeah. Mirando's are 7-4 favourites. Balak 130. Wells Fargo 5-1. Sextant 11-2. Racket Balhawa 8-1. Vivid Diamond 8-1. And Surrey Thunder is 10-1.
This is all about the ground, Niall, isn't it? I mean, if it absolutely chucks down there, which I remember this meeting last year when Dream of Dreams got turned over by Projection of Roger Charlton's. And Dream of Dreams has, he's shown what he's all about this year, isn't he? The ground at Ascot can get, when it gets deep, it can throw up some really funny results. But Mirando absolutely loves it, Niall. Is this going to be a proper plunge horse, or one we can take on under the penalty?
He's not a horse I'm a massive fan of. I actually think of all the 110-plus horse in training, he's up there at one of the worst. His outlier in his form is that heavy ground win at Chester when he beat was a Kew Gardens, who probably was undercooked that day. The rest of his form, I don't really think is up the huge amount. He was very disappointed he got beaten the last day by Technician. Don't think that form is up to much. The one I really like here is Failak. Now, he's only won a handicap at Kempton, but he did so impressively last time. Like, he absolutely bolted up in the bridle. The sectional backed up the performance on the eye. was really impressive. He's got quite high knee action, so I think he'd really like this ground. He's obviously by Dubowie out of Danger Room, and she handles soft ground very well.
Yeah, exactly.
He just looks top class to me. William Haggis can always improve these type of horses. Like I said, I don't think it's the strongest race either, so he might even need to improve that much. But yeah, he'd be the one for me at the prices.
Failak Finale, DJ. What about you with Mirando? Are we looking for something a little bit bigger price?
Yeah, I'm taking on Mirando anyway. The one that I kind of liked was Sextant here for Michael Stout. 2 from 2 at Ascot, 3 from 3 with Louis Stewart aboard. He's won with Soft in the Going Description at Ascot, and his only below par effort this season was in Newbury in that Group 3, and he took a false step and was just eased home really that day. It was disappointing, but you know, he's had a really, really good season, and he might still be improving. Louis Stewart gets on really well with him, and just his running style, I think Ascot really does suit a right-handed track. So a tentative vote for Sextant for me.
Okay, now Mirando, a bit more love for this chap, G-Rod, or it's going to be run at a decent lick, this, isn't it? Because you've got Wells Fargo in there, and Sextant doesn't want to crawl as long as he. I must just say that I'm quite keen on him as well, actually, DJ. But what about this chap?
I think that that Mirando might drift here because
sounds like he's going to. Yeah,
he's very exposed, and he's coming in against some potential improvers here. And unless it gets really, really, really deep, which he really loves it, doesn't he, when he gets really testing. Unless it gets really deep, I think that he's definitely beatable. And I thought one of the better bets on the weekend runs here. I agree with Niall Failak for William Haggis. It just looks like the sort of horse that Haggis excels with. I could see this horse developing certainly into a Group 2, maybe even a Group 1 contender next year. He's certainly bred to be that, as we've said, by Jubawi out, the 2011 ARC winner, Dane Dream. Appears to, as Niall's already said, appears to have a higher knee action. That the softer the ground, the better, I think, will suit Failak. He was very impressive when winning at Kempton last time. I really, really, really do fancy. I thought he'd be favourite, and he might still be. It depends on the ground, I think.
He was very impressive at Kempton last time, wasn't he? That was a bridal job. Okay, so a range of opinions there. See how the ground is basically expecting Mirando to drift. Let's go to Redcar then, one of their feature races. In fact, the feature race of the old season up there, the TV Redcar two-year-old trophy. And Niall, again, I'm going to come to you here for the market, because we're going to have a hot pot, aren't we?
Yeah, we are here. Summer Sands is 11-10, Troubadour 4-1, Desert Safari 7-1, Dubai Station 8-1, Las Vegas 12-1, and 16-1 back.
Right, I'm going to start with me here, all right, because I really fancy one here, and it's the last mentioned in the market there, that Las Vegas for Keith Dalglish, who won the race last year. I don't know if you've been watching Redcar Lads recently, but the lower the better when it gets soft. Up the straight track. It's been like that for the last couple of years when I've been analysing there. He's in stall one. He was ahead of Summer Sands when they met at Royal Ascot on the opening day. If you remember that, it was absolutely chucking it down, wasn't it? 1-6 last time at Hamilton. They got the cheap pieces on. He was a bit laboured. He might want a little bit further. But with Graham Leon, if you remember, he had a steering job, didn't he, on Lamato a couple of years ago. I think this is massively overpriced. He has been nibbled at. I like Las Vegas. Am I mental, Mr. Robway?
No, I can certainly see the argument. And I think you're right on the draw. It's really interesting, Redcar, isn't it? Because when I watch it, all the jockeys always seem to want to sort of move towards the centre near side.
Traditionally, yeah.
Traditionally. But then when you look at the results at the end of the race, most of them are coming up towards the far side, like you say, particularly on soft ground. That always seems like a bit of an oxymoron to me. I'm like, well, everything's coming the far side. Why does everyone want to race this stand side or towards the middle? But anyway, whatever the case, Summer Sands is going to be short here, isn't he? I mean, what was it last time in the
Middle Park?
Yeah. Behind Earthlight. I mean, any sort of...
If he runs that form, he's won, hasn't he? So
this is a win. I mean, he should handle the conditions that he's won with cutting the ground before. And it's just a very similar situation to Under the Stars in the other big two-year-old race. Just a horse with a massive, massive class edge who should win. But again, facing a bunch of unexposed two-year-olds, many of whom could be anything.
Quick backup as well.
Do you want to be taking 5-4? Not for me. Do I really want to be taking him on Not really. So it's not really a betting race for me. I think the favourite will win Summer Sands, but it wouldn't surprise me if he'd beaten.
DJ, Summer Sands, play or a lay?
Oh, lay. I can't get over the price of Summer Sands. I presume it'll drift. There's been a horse in here all week that has been the wrong price, and that's Dubai Station. Like 12-1, it's been all week. And I'm scratching my head wondering, was it not going to run or what's going on? Like, the key thing, like, when you look through Dubai Station's form, went over to France and was third to Earthlight in Deauville. Prior to that, it was third in the Norfolk to A Alley, right? And if you take out the Gimcrack run, where he dragged his legs through the path and wrenched himself. So you can just completely put a line through the Gimcrack run, which he only started 12-1 for. His form is absolutely rock solid. Even the debut run behind Oh Purple Rain at Nottingham. Like, even his mark, he's rated 101. The ground, he'll have no problem on the ground at all because his best runs have been on soft. He won his maiden on soft, and his run in the Norfolk was with cutting the ground as well. To me, like, I know he's a little bit shorter with powers, which suggests maybe Niall might fancy him, but I just can't get over how Dubai Station has been 12-1 freely available all week. I think he's got a cracking chance.
And drawn in six as well, so that'll help you. Niall, is this the one where you're going to be hiding behind the sofa waiting for the Fav to win, or are you expecting to take him on as well?
I was trying to make an angle into him, and the one day he's just put up their Dubai Station's very interesting each way, but he still has to give nearly a stone to Summer Sands. If it runs within 10 pounds of that run in the middle park, then this should just be winning. Like, it's carrying 8-3. It's not just like he was flattered from that run. His previous form's useful. Like, he was fifth behind Tret in the Gimcrack, sixth in that race, the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot. He beat Oh Purple Rain at Beverley in the listed race. His debut run behind Bombproof worked out very well. I think there was horse in Mark Johnson's Minoski just in front of him. Like, he looks very solid, and he's carrying 8-3. That's the main thing about this. Like, if they're all off levels, I'd definitely be taking him on, if you know what I mean. But it's just that type of weight. He's clear on ratings anyway. I just find it hard to see him beaten. I wouldn't put anyone back in Dubai Station each way. The case they've made is a good one there. But yeah, I just think Summer Sands will win this.
Interesting for a Saturday, isn't it? We've got some not very competitive fields then. After this break, we'll be switching tack.
So doesn't each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Okay, the promise of competitive racing now ramps up, because at 3:10 we've got the Bet365 Challenge Cup, the Heritage Handicap. The likes of Raising Sand got his ground again. Rip off. Will it be his big day this time? Kinron, my goodness me. Bedouin Story. Where do we start, Niall, with the favourite? Who's it going to be?
We're 5 pace in this race as well. Our favourite at the moment is Raising Sand at 5-1. Riporth is 5-1. Casanova 7-1. Kinron 15-2. Bedouin Story 8-1. Escobar 10-1. And 12-1 bar.
Host of runners, DJ, who's going to win?
I'm all over one in this. It's a big price as well. It's a horse called Silver Line. Now, to put a bit of context to this, around this time last year, I'm in this Liverpool group, and a few of us, there's 10 or 11, and we throw a tenner in every week. And, if it goes well, we have a holiday or we go to Anfield to watch a Liverpool match. Actually, this time last year, we had a right cut on Sharjah Bridge at Ascot on Champions Day, won at 16-1, and we ended up buying a dog out of it anyway. But this is our next big plunge. We're after having a go with this Silver Line for Saeed Bin Sarur and Callum Shepherd. Just 20-1 to me was a ridiculous price. Like, if you go back to the run at Sandown last time, which I thought was a cracking run from Silver Line, he was beaten just over 2 lengths. King of Change is rated 115, and he was given King of Change £4. And in his last 2 races over a mile, he's traded at 1.38 and 2.7, looking like a winner on both occasions. And I'm not convinced he fully gets the mile. Now, he won a slowly run mile at Nottingham earlier on in the season, very impressively. And I think they thought that might turn him into a miler. But I think he's all about speed. And I think he's all about speed on this type of a surface as well. He's by Dark Angel. The ground should be fine. On his only kind of run on this type of ground, he was a close-up third in the Norfolk at Royal Ascot, which I thought was a cracking run. Saeed Bin Sarur has had 8 winners in the last 12 days, so his team are in cracking form. I just think he's a strong traveller that'll handle the ground, that's ran well at Ascot before, and I just think 20-1 was a huge price. Now, powers have cut him to 14s now. I still think that's a little bit too big, but there's still 20s out there. I'll be bitterly disappointed. I think, Niall, they're going five places. I'll be bitterly disappointed if Silverline doesn't finish in the first five. I think he's got a great chance. They're not even claiming off him. Callum Shepherd is riding him. They're not even claiming off him. I think he's got a great chance.
He's had loads of chances for Sidebinser, hasn't he, Callum Shepherd? And he's taken a lot of them as well.
I like him.
Okay, yeah, he talks a good game. I can tell you that much when you're interviewing him afterwards. The draw's interesting, isn't it, DJ? Because he's in two. I was looking for where the pace is in this, and you're obviously going to want to latch onto a front runner, I'm assuming. Lake Volta in 12, we're assuming that he'll, you know, have a go. He's the outsider of the party somehow, but he always, you know, sort of takes it up there. So we think they'll probably head down the centre?
Yeah, I think I'd say so. Yeah, I think he'd be fine, because I think in the last 8 years I was working out, there's been a winner from stall 2, a winner from stall 4, a winner from stall 8, an accidental agent who seems to have won on this day every year. He won it from stall 8 as well. So there has been low numbers. I think 4 of the last 7 have been 8 or lower. So it should be fine.
A DJ Plunge. Stall 8 this year, it's going to be my hope. Because why? Because this has been an expensive project all season, is Rip Off. That was horrible last time, wasn't it, at the track? I mean, how on earth did he make up that ground G rod? And it was stolen from the front from him, wasn't it? He's got to be going close again, isn't he, surely?
Yeah, I mean, this is his time of year. He sorts of race, isn't he? He's just one of those regulars who's going to rock up in this race all the time, and one or two every now and again is going to fall his way. Will it be this one? Maybe, but he's not the one for me. I thought DJ made quite a compelling case there, actually.
He might have had a look at this race, hasn't he?
Silverline, but he wasn't on my radar. The one that I'm going to back is an old favourite, So Beloved, for David O'Meara. And this one, I thought, bounced back to form last time at Sandown. Stayed on very nicely towards the finish and just got up for third near the line behind Takum in a 7 furlong handicap. And I thought he would be suited by a stiffer test. He's certainly shaped as though a stiffer test would suit. And I think the straight 7 here will suit him better. Now, in our spotlight comment, I think he says something like, has been well held on all of his starts at this track. But, his run two runs ago at the track, which albeit was last year, was in the Group 1 Queen Anne when he was 100-1.
Yeah.
And he finished 8th for 15, 100-1 in a Group 1. So I don't think you can really hold that against him as a bad run. And then last time at the track was in the Hunt Cup, when he finished 9th of 28 behind Effect. So, I mean, he's still beating a heck of a lot of the field there. And he, you know, so I think you can argue that he acts perfectly well on the straight mile at Ascot. He likes soft ground. He's got the boy Angus Villiers.
Yeah, he's making some waves, isn't he?
Yeah, he's making the headlines, claiming £7 off of his back, and he's already really well handicapped. I mean, a previous listed winner, and he's come right down in the weights here. It's surely only a matter of time before he cashes in. The only thing I suppose you're going to say is he is a long time without a win. I mean, we're talking about 2016.
He's 9-year-old now, isn't he?
He's 9 years old, and he tends to run really well without winning on a lot of occasions. But I don't mind that so much because he's fairly consistent, and we're going to be getting a big enough price about him here. With no doubt, as I think Niall has already said, they're going to be offering extra places here. So an each-way bet on So Beloved with the extra places around 16, 18, 20 to 1, something like that, that makes plenty of appeal for me. I'll be very disappointed if he isn't in the first 5 or 6.
It's an extremely appealing race, isn't it? Niall, have you got one for us?
I do indeed. It's just interesting that Dave tipped up that silver line, because we laid that yesterday and I spent half an hour trying to figure out why someone was backing it. But yeah, that explains a lot. Yeah, the one I like is actually the Bin Sarur. What I thought was first string is Bedouin Story. On his last run over 7 furlongs at York, he absolutely bolted up. And the time was very fast when you compare it to other races run over 7 furlongs at York that weekend. He won so easily as well. It was his first time wearing cheek pieces, and they've really seemed to make the difference to him. He wears them again here. His last start, he went to Chelmsford over a mile, but he's given far too much to do by Hector Crouch. But he still ran really well, finishing second to Mamora, who went on to finish second in a listed race on our next start. He drops back to 7 furlongs here on a stiff track like Ascot on soft ground, and I think it's just his ideal conditions. The likes of Raisin Sand and Rip Off are solid, so it don't think they're hiding that much in comparison to the likes of Bedouin Story. And with the stable continuing in such good form, yeah, I think he'd actually take quite a lot of beating. We're obviously five places, and I definitely think he'll at least be in the five.
Plenty to chew over there then. And just looking at the draw there, of course, he's drawn right next door to Silver Lion, isn't he? So I have to hope you're not the pacemaker, DJ, I think, there. So, okay. Okay. Little dig there. Let's go. All right. So over to the Group 1 domestic action, the 325, back to Newmarket, the Sun Chariot Stakes. This is always a real highlight of the season, isn't it, for the fillies. Lawrence comes back to try and repeat last year's win. We'll get to her in a minute. Iridessa, of course. Who holds that form? A Voracious, Hermosa. A lot of these are tied in, aren't they, Noel? I'm assuming it's a fairly open market, is it?
Yeah, it is indeed, Dave. Lawrence are 7-2 favourite. Voracious 7-2. Hermosa 4-1. Iridessa 4-1. Lavender's Blue 6-1. I can fly 14. Madeline Musk 16. Hilsenbrook 20. Crown Walk 25-1 outsider.
And Noel, we were talking off air just before we came on the show. You're happy to give Lawrence another chance?
Yeah, we were just chatting. I had quite an expensive weekend following Lawrence and Shine So Bright, the weekend of Irish Champions weekend. Obviously thought that that time that they ran at York was top class. The seven for a long time was very fast when I looked through it. I'm kind of taking an angle that maybe that race took a bit out of the two of them because they both disappointed and I don't know why. Shine So Bright seemed to go too hard. Lawrence is hard to explain. I think maybe she might have gone too hard as well. The trainer blamed the fact that she was coming up the rail and nothing seemed to win up the rail. Not so sure about that myself. But yeah, I'm just going to give her another chance. She obviously really likes Newmark. She won this race last year. She's fine on the ground. Like Voracious, for instance, who's 7-2 as well, was well behind her in this race last year. I can't have her at all. I thought she got an easy lead last time in an average race. Yeah, I'd be closer to 6-1 her than the 7-2 she is at the moment. Lavender's Blue is a nice type as well. She's 6-1 at the moment. I thought she'd be around 12-1 myself. So there's two horses underpriced there, which means a lot of them might be big price. Like Lawrence, I could see shortening. For most, and Iridessa probably slightly too big at the moment as well. But yeah, the one I'm going to side with Lauren.
It was hock deep, wasn't it, DJ, when Lauren's won this last year. Would you be so pro with her, or was that just, did that look like a run that might just hold her back in this?
Yeah, I was working that day in Leopardstown, and first thing I did was end up to PJ McDonald and just asked what happened. Like, and he goes, it was really bizarre. He said, it's the first time he's ever ridden her where he went to just ask for another little extra bit, gave her a squeeze, and there was no response. He says, it's the first time it's ever happened. And it's just a little bit worrying. I wouldn't subscribe to that theory. Nothing won on the rail. Magical was on the rail when she won the Champion Stakes. So I don't subscribe to that at all. She's a lovable filly, absolutely. Like, but I just don't know. I couldn't really forgive her though on the last day. I thought everything went right. For me, Hermosa has the more scope for improvement to confirm that form with Lawrence. I think you will see the real Hermosa this time. I just have a theory, like when Hermosa, first of all, on the ground is fine because she won her maiden at Galway on soft ground and it does get pretty deep at Galway. So that's fine. She came out this season and she won the Guineas impressively at Newmarket, beating Lady Kea. And then she came out and was even more impressive when she won the Guineas at the Curra. Both times, aggressive ride from the front, gradually increasing the tempo, and had Everton at a two out and had the race won. And then she was obviously beaten by Watch Me in the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot. Then she was taken on by Medea in the Nassau at Goodwood, went up to 10 furlongs and ran an absolute shocker. And I think last time at Leopardstown, it was just a case of, let's get her back to something like she used to be. Let's see what we've got here. And I thought she ran a perfectly respectable race behind Iridessa. She didn't make the run on that day. Lawrence did. I expect them roles to be reversed here. I think Hermosa will pop out and make it into a proper test. And Hermosa will try to do what Hermosa does best and bully the rest of the field from the front. And this time, I don't think she's going to come back. Aidan O'Brien won the race for two of the last 3 years with Alice Springs, Roly Poly. Happily was second in the race last year. He tends to have won properly cherry ripe for this. And I think Hermosa, I think you'll see the filly that won the Guineas tomorrow.
This is a fascinating race, isn't it, of opinions? I mean, Iridessa, you know, she holds that Phillies mile verdict. The interesting thing to say about this race, I think, lads, is that the top five in the market have all won at the course. So they're all proven into the dip. G-Rod, Iridessa.
Yeah, I mean, an absolute cracking race, isn't it? I sort of felt last time that Lauren's kind of did for Hermosa a little bit in the fact that, as DJ says, I think Hermosa likes to be up there. She likes to bully them out of it. Lauren's obviously similar sort of type. And in the end, they just ended up both sitting ducks, really, for the stayer in that race, the matron, who Iridessa obviously had won over over Thurver, the Pretty Polly, I think it was, on a previous start. I wouldn't be entirely convinced that she will confirm the form at this track. I always think you need a little bit more raw speed at Newmarket, in the sense when they come into that dip, they can sort of get away from you a little bit, and then it's hard to get them back on the running. And it's going to be, DJ's already sort of alluded to, it's going to be really interesting again how the tactics go with Lawrence and Hermosa both taking each other on for the second time in a few weeks. And obviously we've got Voracious in there as well, who won the Falmouth and has been brought along slowly by Sir Michael Stewart. It's an absolutely fantastic race. I thought that that Hermosa might be the one, as DJ said. I was at Goodwood that day when she was well beaten. She got in a real mess before the race. She sweated up really badly going to post. She was really, really worked up. And then obviously in the race got taken on for the lead by Madei, and that put paid to her chances. And I thought that maybe she did shape as though she would come on a bit for that run last time out at Leopardstown. And as I say, she did get taken on for the lead by Lawrence. She was up there with Lawrence the whole way, and she clearly beat off Lawrence. It was only Iridesa who was coming from behind who beat her, and I think the one who finished third as well was in a similar position to Iridesa. They were both coming from off it. So I think it was probably quite a smart effort for Hermosa to keep going and beat Lawrence so easily, considering she had raced up with the pace with her. And I think the return to this track could do the trick, and she handles soft ground. She won soft ground at Galway. I think it was on her debut. So Hermosa for me, but it wouldn't surprise me if anything won it. It's one of those races, an absolutely fantastic race to watch, maybe not to punting.
I'm going
to
give Hermosa a tick as well, actually. I buy into that theory that this would have been the big target last time. Okay, the final race on ITV moving on is the 340 at Ascot, the John Guest Racing Bengough Stakes Group 3. I think Tab Deed might just head the market. We'll go to Nile in a second for that. But Kate Byron's in there. He's very interesting back at the course, isn't he? And the more sort of hardened, tested types like Don Juan Triumphant and Raucous and the likes. Nile, can you just give us a quick market on this? We're just going to give this one a quick run through.
Tab Deed is our 2-1 favourite. Cape Byron 9-4. Don Juan Triumphant 5-1. Rocket 7-1. Keystroke 10-1 and 20-1 bar.
And where would the O'Reilly money be going if you were playing?
I really like Tab Deed. He was seriously impressive at Doncaster in his comeback, and that form has actually worked out very well with Octed, who was well beaten winning the Portland. The second also won, I can't remember the name, but Richard Spencer horse. He's never encountered ground as soft as this, so he's most definitely bred to handle it. And there was ease in the ground at Donny last time. Cape Byron goes well here, though I think he'd prefer better ground. Same goes for Raucous, who I wouldn't really fancy anyway. So, yeah, quite sweet on Tab Deed.
G-Rod, come to you now. Cape Byron, the Wokingham winner, bouncing back, or...?
Yeah, I thought that Cape Byron was one of the better bets of the weekend. I'm not too concerned about the ground unless it gets really, really deep there, because...
Victoria Cut was pretty soft there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a cut in the ground that day. Maybe not desperate, but... Who knows, it might not be desperate there for this race. And I mean, this horse, I think, went off 6-1 for the July Cup on the back of his win in the Wokingham. You know, that's probably the strongest Group 1 sprint run in Britain this season. And all right, well beaten in the race, but bounced back behind Shine So Bright and Lawrence. And Lawrence is obviously a Group 1 horse of certainly of that category, and it was a weird race. I felt that race, Shine So Bright and Lawrence. Obviously, the time was very good, but it was just nothing came from off the pace in that race. You know, they sort of jumped off and they stayed in the same positions the whole way. And Shine So Bright made all. Lawrence was always second, and Cape Byron was in third. The only horse that actually did make significant ground from the back in that race was Sir Dancelot, and Sir Dancelot went on to prove that form wasn't really right when winning at Doncaster next time. So I think that was actually probably quite a decent run from Cape Byron to finish third in that race, and I think he's just better than this lot.
All right, okay, so one for Tab D, that's Niall, and G-Rod likes Cape Byron. DJ, split the argument for us.
Oh, Cape Byron, I agree with Graham. Graham has said everything that I was going to say. I just thought he looked different class. Like, the racing's having £10 clear of Tab Deed. And while Tab Deed, that might underestimate Tab Deed. And as Niall said, the form of that Doncaster race worked out well, because the second Bernardo O'Reilly won next time at Fos Lass and won quite nicely. I just think with Cape Byron, I just think this track, this trip, and I think the ground is fine. I think he handled cutting the ground when he won at Ascot earlier on the season over 7. It was pretty hard work that day, and he kind of burst through to lead 2 out and held on. He's got loads of speed, and to me, if he just repeats anything close to that Wokingham run, it's probably going to be good enough. And as you said, I thought the run last time at York was perfectly respectable. I think he's going to be very hard to beat.
Nice. Okay. Kate Byron then to maybe bring the curtain down on a profitable weekend if you're just looking at your ITV races. There are, of course, other meetings to mention on Saturday. Fontwell, Gowran Park, whiff of jump racing coming back, lads, isn't there? And Wolverhampton in the evening. And, of course, over at Longchamp as well. Just want to go through each of you individually, chaps. Maybe one from Longchamp on Saturday, G-Rod?
Mbihar in the miles.
Keeps winning, doesn't she?
Race. I can't remember the name of it.
Roya,
yeah.
Yeah, the two group ones, that's one.
Mbihar. I mean, she has been rapidly progressive this season, and I just love the way she strides through her races. She's got like a real long, loping stride, and I think that she'll be really suited by the trip there at Longchamp. I've got one for you at Fontwell, as you say. The jumping is coming back. I mean, it won't be that long until the good Chepstow meeting. We'll be talking
next
about
Saturday.
Week. So that'll be fantastic to see all the great jumpers coming back, and I can't wait to get stuck in. And in the opener at Fontwell, 150 on Saturday, Mourner K for Polly Gundry. Polly Gundry has a lot of winners at Fontwell. I think she's got a 17% strike rate at the course, which is pretty high for a trainer of her standing, and she's profitable to follow there. Mourner K ran quite nicely last time out and finishing third at Stratford, bouncing back to form. Now, coming back off a break here, but I don't see that being an issue for Mourner K in the 150 at Fontwell.
Oh, we're going through loads here, aren't we? DJ, one from Longchamp or maybe McGowan?
Longchamp, like, it mightn't win, but I just thought 16-1 about Falcon 8 and the Cadram was probably too big of a price. He's just slow, like 2.5 miles at Longchamp with cutting the ground is probably what he wants. He's just very, very slow. And I just, with Frankie back on board, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he outran his odds at 16-1, because I'm not sure DXB is going to be in love with the ground and, you know, the trip as well. I don't know. I just thought 16 is a big price. I'm not saying it'll win, but just thought it was a big price. As regards closer to home, just 3 for me. The PWC Champion Chase, the Grade 2, is a 4.25 at Goran Park. And I'm all over Snow Falcon here for Noel Mead and Sean Flanagan. You know, Noel has not only started the jump season in cracking form like he usually does. His flat horses are absolutely flying. He's having winners left, right and centre. Snow Falcon, ground is perfect. Trip should be perfect. Goes well fresh. Has won first time out for a couple of seasons. And to me, this is like a real Snow Falcon race. You know, Gordon has got Shattered Love, the storyteller, Jury Duty. Talking to him during the week, I think all three are going to come on for the run, whereas I think Snow Falcon might just be tuned up for this. So Snow Falcon, the 4.25. In the 2.50 at Newmarket, this man of the night from Richard Hannans, we haven't seen the best of him yet. I know for a fact that he's much better than he's shown on the track. He's only rated 94. Like, originally they were kind of holding him in the same kind of league as the Trets and the Mum's Tipples and this kind of stuff. So he's obviously been a little bit disappointing, but I just don't think things have worked out for him. I think he is a work in progress, and he will be a gorgeous three-year-old next season. That's man of the night in the 250. And just one other one in the 4.15 at Ascot. I think the Fed has got terms and conditions here. 7 furlongs, soft ground, Ascot. Repeat of that 5th in the Duke of Cambridge, I think, might be good enough. That's the Fed in the 4.15 at Ascot.
She's really interesting, actually, DJ. I didn't even see that she was running. It's one of those days, isn't it? But last time, I think I did her analysis and I wrote something like, don't write her off because she won in October last year. She might be a soft ground fairly. Very interesting there. So, yeah. Okay, a lot of people scribbling these downs. Niall, give us some more for their pages.
In the 3.25 Longchamp, I'm actually taking on Mbihar with Delphinia, who looked a huge price at some firms. I think I've seen 7-1. He's obviously beaten a short head by Mbihar last time at Doncaster, but the ground is a lot softer here, and it'd be a big worry for Mbihar for me. Delphinia is only a 3-year-old, so it could be stepping forward again, could improve. She's 7-1. I definitely back her each way against the, I think Mbihar's 15-8 or 7-4. She'd be one for me. In the 4.35 Newmarket, I actually think there could be one of the best staying handicappers, or sorry, the best handicap stayers in training run here in a horse called A Horse With No Name for Brian Ellison. He's booked Oisin Murphy, so clearly he thinks the same. He was a good bumper horse when his last run in a bumper by 15 lengths at Suttle. He returned in the flat when running a cracking race with third to Monica Sheriff, beating over a length, trying to give that horse 11 pounds. Monica Sheriff is now rated 11 pounds, or sorry, is now rated 102, having won her next three. A horse with no name won his next two start, winning easily at Catterick and Tursk. He beat a horse at Catterick by 9 lengths called Gabriel's Boy, giving him 4 pounds, and that horse is now rated 85. So I have no idea how the handicapper has left a horse with no name on 80. he's minimum £10 in hand. I'm not sure what price he'd be, but if he's any price at all, I'll definitely be backing him.
Oh, so many horses going. But now it's the time we've all been waiting for. It's time for the Saturday Naps.
This will not be beaten.
We've mentioned so many horses, but what is at the very top of the Saturday Rodway tree?
Kate Byron for me in the 340 at Ascot.
DJ?
Oh, it has to be Silver Line in the 310 at Ascot.
Okay, and Niall O'Reilly?
215 Newmarket, Bonds Boy, each way.
Thank you to G-Rod, DJ and Niall for this Saturday action. Lots that we went through. If you like these shows, don't forget to rate, subscribe to us. Let us know what you think by writing your comments. And of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we've got a second podcast coming up very shortly about the ARC action. For now, be lucky.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.